end times, the battle of Gog and Magog. The battle of Gog and Magog. This is not about a husband and wife. Just let that cook. War of the Roses. Okay. Now I know who watches movies. All right. There's always been wars and rumors of wars. Y'all know that, right? Matthew 24, though, in Luke 21, specifically says that exponentially it will take place. That is actually going to be one of our weeks. The exponential forming of prophecy. It says as the time gets closer, more and more rapidly it would be occurring. It would take place. From earthquakes that we know has been occurring increasingly, in wars and rumors of wars constantly. Chuck Hagel said last week, this is a mess. I don't even know what's going on. And he, remember you guys said, as he met with the Marines, he said, all this stuff is going on. We don't even know what to do. So in all recorded history, in less than 225 years of peace, there's only been 225 years of peace in the world. So we know there's always been some type of war going on. But Gog and Magog is a special war because the Bible and Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, he lived about the same time as Daniel and Jeremiah. About 600 B.C., so he was a contemporary of those two, Daniel and Jeremiah, all right? It's not in your notes. So he was writing about the same time. Ezekiel is a major or minor prophet? He's major. He's a major prophet. He's highlighted. There's several different things that Ezekiel is known for throughout Scripture. He gave a lot of prophecy, not just for the immediate time that he was living in, but for the end times. He was the Valley of the Dry Bones, the New Temple, the Siege of Jerusalem, the Parable of the Two Eagles, the Watchman in Ezekiel 2-3, and now Gog and Magog. He is one of the greatest, considered one of the greatest prophetic works in the Bible, with a very much of a panoramic view of what is going on globally, not just in over in Israel, but around the world of what is going to be taking place. So when we go over this tonight, understand this is a very big view of what is going on. It's not just, oh, it's another war. No, this is an end times war, and we're going to go over all that tonight. So it's in the Amplified tonight in your notes. I'm not going to read every single passage tonight in here. I don't think so, but I'll stop along the way and highlight some things, and we'll break it down. Okay, Ezekiel 38. These are end time prophecies right now. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog. Well, who's Gog? We'll find that out in a second. Of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshesh, Tubal, and prophecy against him. And say, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, chief prince, ruler of Rosh. I will turn you back and put hooks into your jaws. I will bring you forth and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed in full armor, a great company with buckler and shield, and all of them handling swords. We'll go through all what this is. This is the part of breaking Daniel down last week, and we're going to do a little bit different this week. So now he's talking about everybody who's going to be coming up against the Lord. In verse 5, there's going to be also Persia, Cush, Put, Libya, and all of them with shield and helmet. They are ready for war. They're coming. Gomer and all his hordes, the house of Togarma and the uttermost parts of the north, and all his hordes. Many people are with you. Stop right there at the end of verse 6. He's giving you areas that are going to come up against. In a couple pages right now, I broke down where those areas are at. Now, there's always going to be a little dispute of, hey, maybe it's 8 more miles this way or 10 more miles this way, or is it like... This is what is generally accepted for these areas, just so you know, they might include another 8-mile radius regions or 15 miles. But you have to understand, it's the area they're referring to. Does everyone understand that? Because they're going back to the overlay of when Ezekiel wrote this, he said this is where the time was, because we know Persia is now, and Libya is now. Okay, all right, just checking, all right. Yeah, some things are just straight out ahead, aren't they? All right, verse 7. You, Gog, singular, plural, masculine. In the original Hebrew, singular, it's not plural, it's singular, masculine. Not plural, singular. You, Gog. Not to be confused in Revelations chapter 20, verse 8. We're not going to go there tonight. but as it's different Gog and Magog, how they're referring from the Greek and Hebrew, okay? You, Gog, be prepared. Yes, prepare yourself, yourself, singular. You and all your companies that are assembled about you, and you be on guard, a commander for them. After many days, you shall be visited and mustered. I love that, mustered for service. In the latter years, end times, latter days, latter years, same thing. You shall go against the land and it's restored from the ravages of the sword, where people are gathered out of many nations upon the mountains of what? So he's given you a list of people prophetically 2,600 years ago. This time of this prophecy is right around 600 BC. He says, this land currently, here is the land currently that I see. God's giving this vision, and they're going to come up against God's people in Israel. Many nations led by one person is going to instigate many nations coming up against Israel. Verse 9, and you shall ascend and come like a storm. You shall be like a cloud to cover the land, you and all your host and many people. There's going to be a lot of people, 10 nations. Thus saith the Lord, at the same time the thoughts shall come into your mind, and you will devise an evil plan. Isn't that interesting? And you will say, I will go up against an open country, the land of unwalled villages. The land of unwalled villages. Back at the time that this was written, each village in Israel, they had little stone walls. You can see remnants of that still there. They would separate their villages, not just for protection, but for cattle. And there's many different reasons why they did it. But it says now he says, your land of unwalled villages. He saw a time in the future where there would no longer be separation in Israel, where they would travel back and forth, which is now. You guys, this is why this is important. He's not talking about right then. He's talking about future. I will fall upon those who are at rest, who will dwell securely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take spoil and prey, to turn your hand upon the desolate places now inhabited and assail the people gathered out of the nations who have obtained livestock and goods. So they're going to take everything. You guys understand this? They're going to come in and they're going to take. They want to take everything. They want to. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all their lion-like cubs or satellite areas. We'll go into that in the next couple weeks. This is end-time prophecy for the United States, Canada, and so forth. They shall say to you, have you come to take spoil? Have you gathered your host to take the prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock, goods, to take a great spoil? So there's going to be some nations who are the offshoot of lion-like cubs out of Britain. Who branched off of Britain? There are going to be nations like us who are going to say to Gog and Magog, this coalition of 10 nations, hey, 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 why are you invading them again? What do you want to do? What is the reason why you want to do this? He's asking, you guys, this is what he's saying. This is the dream he's got. So we know now this is all taking place. We understand this. Verse 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord, in that day when my people Israel dwell securely, will you not know it and be aroused? You will come forth from your place of the uttermost parts of the north, and you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great host, a mighty army. To the north of Israel, to the north of Israel, you'll see Syria and Turkey and Georgia, and then what? Russia. We're going to go with that. So there's going to be a coalition that not is only surrounding them, but the major players are coming from the north. Okay, it says this over and over again. Verse halfway through 16. In the latter days, what does that mean? End times. So how do I know he's talking about the end times? It's because he says so. People always go, well, I don't know if he's referring. No, he's saying it's the end times. I will bring you against my land, and the nations may know, understand, and realize me. Ooh, hold on a second here. You shall come up against my people, Israel, like a cloud. So you're going to come in, all these ground troops and all this stuff, you're going to come in to cover the land. In the last days, I will bring you against my land. Last week, in the seventh week, Daniel, the time of the Gentiles began after Jesus was crucified and rose again. Remember? That 2,000-year period. It said, then, in part, though, the Jewish people could still come to Christ, right? But it was really for the Gentile people. The Jewish people, they had their witness, and they didn't believe he was the Messiah because he didn't stay as king in that time. So he went away. So now you have this time coming that God still, you know, God still loves his people. He's giving them, he says, I'm going to bring these people against you. You know what? He wants his people to see God's hand mighty. God is allowing this to come up against Israel. It says so. I will bring them against my land, that the nations may know, understand, and realize me when my holiness shall be vindicated. I'm going to let them come in there, and then I'm going to wipe them out. I want my people and everyone to see this take place. Thus says the Lord our God, verse 17, are you he of whom I have spoken in olden times by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied in those days for years that I would bring you, Gog, against them? But in that day when Gog shall come up against the land of Israel, says the Lord, my wrath shall come up into my nostrils. Now, whose wrath comes in their nostrils and they get really angry? You know what I'm talking about? Huh? Okay, who's like that? Who breathes in really? Come on, I want a show of hands. Come on. If your spouse does that, point. Wow. All right. My wife raised and pointed at me. Okay. That's fine. It's fine. I got something to say, but I'm taking my nostrils. Yeah, next, that's a whole other class after Christmas. Okay. Verse 20. The fishes of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the fields, and all creeping things that creep. I love that. All creeping things that creep. Upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall tremble and shake at my presence. Everyone's going to see this taking place. Is it a worldwide war? No, but everyone's going to see it happening. Just like we watch the news right now. We know what's going to. Isn't that interesting? You can watch. Last week, did you guys see there's a reporter? It was MSNBC or CNN or something like that. And a guy is standing there with his microphone, and there's missiles going off back. Did you guys see that? They're going off behind his head. You just take it off. And he goes. He's probably thinking right now, is this job worth it? Is this? As a Bob, can you hear me, Bob? What is going on over there? He goes, missiles are going off behind my head. We're all going to watch this taking place, everyone. Well, wait, are we going to be here? Ooh, I don't know. This is part of the prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Most scholars believe we're going to look at this in a minute. It's going to be right around the time before or after the rapture of the church. It's right around that time. Many people believe there's going to be an opportunity for people to see God's mighty hand at work, and then he's going to take us away, or is it going to be right before? So I just want you to understand, this couldn't have taken place where everyone could watch us until now because of technology. Verse 21, I'm going to call for a sword. Throughout all my mountains, says the Lord, every man's sword shall be against his brother. Whoa, what's going on there? Everyone's coming to attack Israel from the north, from the south, and the east. This big coalition from the north is coming down, led by someone probably out of Russia. I wonder who that could be. And the Lord says, every man's sword shall be against his own brother. So everyone fighting this coalition, all of a sudden their sword weapon is going to be against each other. Verse 22, something else is going to happen. With pestilence and bloodshed will I enter into judgment with God. All of a sudden, during this war, they're getting ready to attack Israel. Notice Israel hasn't done one single thing yet. They're just, here we go. But pestilence and bloodshed will enter. He's going to cause pestilence to come upon all these people. Thirdly, he's going to rain upon them with hordes upon many people that are with torrents of rain and great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. So when you breathe in with your nostrils, stuff happens. Just thus will I demonstrate my greatness and my holiness. Oh, no, God's a God of love. He would never hurt anybody. You know how he demonstrates his greatness and his holiness? He comes up against those people who are attacking his people. And I will be recognized. I love that. I will be recognized. I will be understood and known in the eyes of many nations. Yes, they shall know that I am the Lord who calls forth loyalty and obedience. Woo! Verse 1 of Ezekiel 39, and you, son of man, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm against you, chief prince of Rosh. He's the chief ruler and prince of Rosh. And I will turn you about and will lead you and will cause you to come up from the uttermost parts of the north and will lead you against the mountains of Israel. Okay, now he's in retreat. I will smite your bow from your left hand and will cause your arrows to fall out of your right hand. We'll get into that more in detail when we start doing Revelations. You shall fall dead upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your hosts and the peoples who are with you. I will give to you the ravenous birds of every sort to the beasts of the field to be devoured, similar to a prophecy in Revelations, but I will go to that during Armageddon. You shall fall into the open field, for I have spoken it. I will send fire on Magog, this coalition of countries, and upon those who dwell securely in the coastlands. They shall know, understand, and realize I am the Lord, once again, who shows forth loyalty and obedient service. And I will make my name holy in the midst of my people Israel. I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. When Gog, verse 9, and when you, Gog, are no longer, they who dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the battle gear, shields and bucklers, the bows and arrows, hand spikes, riding whips, and spears, so all their weapons, and they shall burn as fuel for what? How long is the tribulation? Huh, it's probably just a coincidence. Okay. It's crazy. This Bible is just full of coincidences. Wait, why is God gonna come up against and destroy them again? Why? To show his power, his might, how he rewards those for. And as a demonstration to this, now this is going into now the tribulation period. I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail right now too much. I just want to we'll foreshadow a little bit. It's not going to be easier than it is now to come to Christ after the rapture of the church. But during this tribulation period, do you know that there's going to be this big wall of fire that's going to burn for 7 years that people are going to always remember? That this is where the mighty hand of God came up against the enemy? So they're going to see this. But God, he said, I'm going to send them strong delusions. They'll see it, and they still won't turn to me. Okay, so God is always looking out for you. He wants you to come to him. He wants you. He loves you. Verse 11, in that day I'll give to you, Gog, a place for burial there in Israel. Huh. I wonder where that might be at. In the valley of those who pass to the east side, in the front of the Dead Sea, between Syria, Petra, and Egypt, and it will delay and stop those who pass through, and they'll bury Gog and his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of him and Gog. For 7 months the house of Israel will bury them, so they may cleanse the land. Yes, all the people of the land will bury them, and it shall bring them renown, and the day shall be glorified. Do you think peace would happen after all the nations in the world saw this take place? Whew, don't mess with Israel. Don't mess with them. Men shall be commissioned to bury with help of those who are passing by. Hey, buddy, can you help me bury these dead bodies? Sure. There's peace in this earth. I got nothing else to do. My buddy's caught in the rapture. I got all the money in the world. Let's go. And when they pass through the land and anyone sees a human bone, he shall set up a marker as a sign to the buriers until they have buried it in the valley. There's something going on. God wants us to see this and memorize for the people who are still here on this earth. So that the house of Israel, verse 22, shall know, understand, and realize beyond all question that I am the Lord their God for that day forward. 2 weeks ago, when a missile came out of the Gaza Strip going towards Tel Aviv, and the terrorists said on the BBC, I saw the hand of God push that missile, right? Isn't it interesting, the following day, a ceasefire was signed? But then the next day, they started shooting again. Short memory. Do we all have short memory sometimes? Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever been, They're in peace. Right. They're in peace for the moment today. Another peace treaty was signed. So we're watching for these continual, it's peace. And oh, no, it's not peace. Oh, it's just continuous. It's going to be happening. Verse 26. Then they shall forget their shame and self-reproach and all their treachery and unfaithfulness in which they have transgressed against me. He's all about his people. He wants his people with him. So they can dwell securely in their land, and there is none that will make them afraid. When I have brought them again from the peoples and gathered them out of the enemy's land, and my justice and holiness are set apart and vindicated through them in the sight of many nations, then they shall know and understand and realize positively that I am the Lord their God. It takes all of this to make it that impression on them. Now, there are several elements of this battle that make it significant, okay? This battle was prophesied in chapter 38 and 39, which is, it's not significant by itself, but because there's many battles, including Armageddon, that have been prophesied in Scripture. But what makes this significant is the first list of the major nations involved. So 2011, 12, and 13, the Arab Spring. You guys know what the Arab Spring is. Remember, we talked about this. There were several nations that changed leadership and or internally from a government run by their a presidency as opposed, and then they switched over to a military. One of such would be Egypt, okay? That went from Mubarak ran, which was supplemented about $1.3 billion a year by the United States. So they stayed friendly with Israel because we paid them to. You know, that's how it works, right? Hey, be nice to your sister. Here's 20 bucks. Okay, that's how it works. Now it's 50, but that was back in my day, it was 20. Okay. Now you have, was Libya mentioned? Yes. Oh, was Libya overthrown? Oh, yes. Is there peace in Libya? No. Interesting. Turkey is in turmoil. Turkey is anti-Israel. So you have King Abdullah to the east in Jordan, anti-Israel. They have predominantly 43% now in the Muslim Brotherhood that are in the government organization. They said by the next election, the Muslim Brotherhood should take over in Jordan. They've been just gaining ground. So you have this in Syria. You have this in Lebanon. You have this in Iraq. You have this in Iran. This is all the nations that were mentioned. Did you know that 7 of those 10 were not against Israel or Switzerland with Israel up until 2011-12? So this prophecy could not have been fulfilled. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? This prophecy that was 2,600 years ago couldn't even happen until these countries said, I don't like Israel. So the battle, number two, was prophesied 2,600 years ago. Was Israel a nation then? No, because we know from the time of Daniel, which was, he's a contemporary, right? Daniel's a contemporary. At the same time, they were living, Jeremiah and him, they were living. And Daniel's writing, hey, when's the walls going to be rebuilt? He's saying, oh, this is so good. He's prophesying. He's saying, you're not even a nation right now. But when you become a nation again, when you build your nation again, you're not going to have the walls separating the little villages anymore. So he wasn't saying a current revelation of prophecy that would occur in the next 40 to 50 years, like when Nehemiah started rebuilding the walls after Daniel said that. He was talking about 2,600 years later. This is just confirming, this is huge. The Bible's true. How do I know what now? That the rebuilding of the walls? Because of the war. Because the war has yet to take place. The war has yet to take place. And for the 70th year of Daniel, 483 years from the prophecy given to Nehemiah, to the rebuilding of the walls and Jesus being crucified. From last week. The Russia involved was not in 1948. Correct. So, number three, enormous armies that will be involved in the battle. The size of the army attacking Israel can only be defeated by direct intervention from God. There is no other explanation for the final results of this battle. You're going to see this coalition of 10 nations coming up against Israel. They're not going to lift a finger, but they're going to be defeated. And I'm going to go through how this is almost, it's like the impossibility of this taking place. Remember, this is not a war. Wars can happen over a period of time and with many venues. The battle happens at one time, one venue, comparable to Armageddon, but not. That's not a world war, but where it's going to take place and the location. Now, the battle is not Armageddon. The listing of the nations involved, though, is very specific. But there are going to be nations not involved that talked about the little lion bear clubs, right? There's other nations that are going to sit by and go, okay, now what are you doing again? Do we want to get involved? Do we not want to get involved? Why are you attacking? Number six, the battle, more than any other battle in history, will display the sovereignty of God. How do we know that? He said so. Oh, you're guessing. No, God said this is going to show my sovereignty. So today we're going to look at the battle, the countries involved, timing of the battle, and the aftermath of the battle. Countries involved, Ezekiel specific about the countries. The modern-day names. Now, the verse 7 verses of Ezekiel 38, the major countries involved with the battle are identified. Here we go. The sword of the Lord came to me, son of man, face against Gog, land of Magog, Rush, Meshach, Tubal, prophecy against him. Verse 5, Persia, Cush, Put, Libya with them, Gomer, Togarmah. Okay. The one name mentioned in this passage is not a country, it's the name Gog. It's the name of a leader. The war of Gog and Magog is not two countries. It is a leader leading a coalition of nations. Everyone understand that? Is his name Gog? Why don't we just look up the name Gog? Is there anyone named Gog right now in the world? So we know he's talking about a person, not a name, but a specific type of person. Now Magog. History tells us that ancient Scythians inhabited the land of Magog. So, there was an actual land of Magog. The Scythians were northern nomadic tribes, inhabited territories from Central Asia across the southern parts of modern Asia, across the southern parts of modern Russia. So, you have a map in your book that you got week two, week three. If you don't have one, there's one out on the table. Look on your map. It'd be the first side, not the Israel side, but the first side has many nations on there. This area includes Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Turkmenistan, a lot of stands, and Afghanistan, okay? Including modern southern parts of modern-day Russia north of Georgia. Do you guys see that? So there's a territory that he's explaining. Now he's talking about Rosh. The common thought to Russia is modern-day Russia, okay? Modern-day Russia. So he mentions Rosh several times in that passage as well. Many believe that Gog will come out of southern Russia. Meshach and Tubal, they're identified in ancient history with Mushke and Tubal of Assyrian descent of the Greeks who are the nation of Turkey. There's a reason why we are studying Turkey. And who's the president of Turkey? Say one more time. There you go. Persia, 1935, it became the nation of Iran. If you're looking on your map, Iran is in the green. That used to be Persia. You guys start to see this big land mass that's coming up against Israel? If you're looking at your map, there's a big land mass coming up against Israel. Cush, it's often translated Ethiopia in modern-day versions. It also includes the capital modern-day Sudan. South of Egypt, which is in the pink on your map. You guys see the Sudan? And see Ethiopia. Whoa. In February and March, Ethiopia came up against Israel in the vote of the UN. I'm telling you, it's just crazy stuff. It's like, why does Ethiopia care? What's going on here? It's because it's an end-time Bible prophecy. So now you have, if you go down your map, you got Egypt, you got Sudan, you guys see all this on your map? On Ethiopia. So you have that whole coalition coming alongside the west side of the Red Sea. Now you have to the north, northeast of the Mediterranean, the southeast of the Black Sea. Now Put, number six. Put was North Africa nation. Put was a distant land to the west of Egypt, which would make it modern-day Libya. Libya. Oh, there's a land included in there. Hold on. Gomer. Gomerites were identified with the Galatians who inhabited what today is central Turkey. This is part of what now is Turkey. Togarma. It is a country which is also included because Turkey is a very large nation. That area is going to also be included in that. Now, Ezekiel is clear on two other aspects of the nations. He clearly states that there will be other nations involved but remain unnamed. Like you said, wait, is Israel, I mean, is Egypt involved in this? Are they not involved? Egypt is very, it seems like they're four against, because right now you have ISIS and Hamas digging tunnels through the Sinai Peninsula into Egypt. It's okay if you're messing with another country, but when you start messing with your own country, it's like, okay, let's get upset. So where is this? Where is Egypt in all of this? I'm not sure because it talks about this. Are they going to be neutral? Because it says there's going to be other countries that sit by and go, okay, now why are you doing this? I don't want to be involved in this. These countries around the Arabian Peninsula and some Western countries, theologians include England and other countries related to Canada and the United States, are going to sit by, this is verse 13, and say, okay, why are you doing this? Why do you want involved? This is not our war. We don't want to get involved in this. You can see this happening already, especially the United States. They're just pulling further and further out, other than the attack in northern Iraq. So all the countries involved are going to be allied in at least three areas. The majority of these countries have oil reserves and oil-producing countries. Where is the Antichrist going to reside according to Scripture? Where is the, in Medina, which is located in Saudi Arabia, okay? Islam, the other things they'll have involved is they'll be Islam dominated. The only mention, only two, Georgia and Ethiopia are not dominated by Islam religion, but the two things in mind, Islam that have studied the last couple of weeks, they believe that the Messiah will come back at a time of great chaos. Remember, they're trying to bring this to us. They're working at bringing chaos to us so the Mahdi can come. Number three, something's going to happen to bring about a time of peace for the nation of Israel, and it's going to infuriate the countries surrounding them. Okay, Battle of Gog and Magog. It's going to be surprise attack from the north, Ezekiel 38, 7 through 11, right? Surprise attack. Many days you'll be visited and mustered, Ezekiel 38, 7. Be prepared yourself and your companies and be on guard. After many days, you'll be visited and for service. In the latter years and times, you shall go against the land and the ravages of the sword where people are gathered, many nations against the mountains of Israel. You shall ascend and come in like a storm. It's going to come in fast, like a storm. It's going to come in. And it shall come into your mind. You'll devise an evil plan. Now, what you also, Israel will stand alone in the battle. And there's two reasons for this. There'll be no time for friendly nations to react, nor they would be allowed to if they could. The only nations that are standing up for Israel right now are the United States and who is England. But we know from Scripture it says England and the United States and those who came out of England are going to sit by. That's what Scripture says. They're going to sit back by. So the rise of Islam in the world or countries that once aligned themselves with Israel will keep them off this fight. This leaves Israel on her alone to protect from this attack. This is, okay, so how did he know this would all take place? How did he know that Islam would run rampant 2,600 years ago? Because God told him. Israel is 260 miles at its longest point, 60 miles at its widest point, 3 and 9 miles at its narrowest points on the different tips. It has a population of 2010 of 7.8 million people. It's increased by 1.3 since then. This is where it gets good. The UN's Department of Social and Economic Affairs says the total populations of the countries that are going to be attacking Israel comes to 513 million. Okay. God says, I have to show you my might and power. He's got to take this little bitty thing and bring this huge amount of things up against it. Even if a tenth of the population of these countries made up their armies, even if a tenth, it would mean 51 million soldiers, which is seven times the whole population of Israel. So using the same tenth for Israel, it would mean their army of 742,000 would defend 51 million soldiers, 70 to 1. Those are conservative estimates based upon their current military status.
How do you have a surprise attack with 51 million?
There's going to be no surprise. It means it's not going to have enough time to prepare. It means right now they're all on the borders. Right now you can attack, you can mobilize like this anymore. We're not riding horses anymore. Man, you're coming in planes, you're coming in jets. They got seven warships off in the Mediterranean right now. They're already surrounded. They just have to pull the word out right now. Yep. It's already there. It's already surrounded. Israel's already surrounded. The nuclear capabilities of Russia and Iran and the massive financial material reserves in the country, Israel's not going to stand a chance, and they're not even going to have a chance to use the Samson option, and we'll talk about that in a little couple weeks. Okay? So I just want, like I said, to answer all the questions tonight on all this stuff. It's just like, well, how's it? God's going to do something. Yeah. So we try to think of, well, how's it? Well, it's because God says it's going to come in like this, and we're not going to have time to respond. The nations, the United States ain't going to have time to get involved and all this stuff. So how's the battle going to be fought? Well, this gets, okay. This is my favorite part of this whole thing. Israel's not going to fire a single shot against, let's just say it's 50 million versus 700,000. Okay, this is great. Israel's protection will come from God in four ways. This is right out of the Bible. This is how God said he's going to do it. Ezekiel 38:19. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I said, in that day there should be a great shaking and cosmic catastrophe in the land of Israel. The fishes and the birds in the heavens, the beasts of the fields, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every natural artificial shall fall on the ground. There's going to be massive earthquakes right out of the Hebrew that's going to take place. These 10 nations are going to come up against, these armies are going to start coming against them, and massive earthquakes are going to start taking place. Not on Israel. You ever seen it rain, like, on your side of the street, and it's not raining over there? There's going to be an earthquake happening here where they're at, and then on that side, Israel's going to go. I mean, it's just what's good. There's going to be some dividing line, and it says, because it's not going to happen to Israel. See, you got to remember, oh, that's impossible. How does that happen? Well, how did just the earthquake just happen in Napa Valley and nowhere else? At some point, it does stop. Who stops it? God. How else is he going to show his sovereignty? How else is he going to show his power? He controls it. See, we're trying to come up with answers in the natural for a supernatural thing. We can't do it. Well, how's God going to do that? No way. He said so in his word. Let's go back to week 1 and 2 before we move on. We all believe, we all raised our hand. I said, boy, Thessalonians 1, 4, 16, 17, and 18 said there's a trumpet that's going to go boop, boop, boop. The clouds are going to part, and Jesus is going to be up in the night. And we all believe, who are believers in Christ, that our clothes are just going to go fall in a nice little neat pile. And we're going to float up to be with him in the heavens. And we all believe that, right? Do you not think this could happen then? We're trying. Don't put natural things into a supernatural consequence. It's not going to happen. This is all supernatural stuff. Infighting among the troops. So how are they going to be defeated? Second thing, infighting amongst the troops. This is just going to freak them out. In the chaos of the powerful, there's going to be a powerful earthquake. And the armies of each nation now is going to start turning against each other. Verse 21. And I will call for a, I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says Lord. And every man's sword shall be against his own brother. God's already done that. So we already know it can happen. This isn't like a stretch. No, it's already happened. So here we go. He used it in the book of Judges 7, chapter 7 and 8. The 135,000 men marched against Israel. By the time they're finished, God killed 120,000 of them. We already know it's taking place. So these guys are going to be wanting to fight Israel, and they're going to turn on each other. It's just going to happen. Well, God's going to cause them to do that. Kill anything that moves. Can you imagine darkness goes around, and all of a sudden earthquakes start playing, and people come up against you? You start swinging and shooting, right? That's called friendly fire. People do that all the time. Okay. Disease. Third thing the Bible mentions, that how God is going to show his power and his might. Ezekiel 38:22. With pestilence and with bloodshed will I enter into judgment. Gog and his troops will experience lethal plagues that will add to the misery and devastation already inflicted. It'll be a plague like nothing ever seen. If you look in the original text in the Hebrew, it says a plague like nothing anyone's ever seen. Well, what could it be so bad that they would stop fighting? I don't know. It's going to be supernatural. Is it going to be like really bad chicken pox? They're going to start scratching themselves? I don't know. See, we're trying to apply a natural remedy or a situation to a supernatural thing. I don't know. Maybe their whole body's just going to start pop open in boils. Once we get to the seven bowls and trumpets and seals, and when you start hearing that, there's going to be these giant grasshoppers flying out of the sky with helmets and horns and biting people, you're going to go, okay. So this is going to happen. It's going to happen. Bible says so. Number four, torrential rain. Torrential rain. We got some torrential rain a week ago Monday, and it shut a lot of things down. But this is going to be torrential rain from God out of his angry nostrils. This is the back half of verse 22. And I will rain upon him and upon his hordes. And can you imagine if God rained down upon you? Ooh. I used to get in trouble, and my dad said, I'm going to rain down upon you. And I knew what that meant. I can only imagine if God's raining down upon you. And upon the many people that are with him, torrents of rain, and great hailstone, fire and brimstone. See, we have an idea of what a big hailstone is, but God's saying, I'm going to send you a great hailstone. God's hailstone's a lot bigger than your hailstone. My thoughts are not his thoughts. His ways are not my ways. God's hailstones are much bigger than my hailstones. Fire, brimstone, just as in Sodom and Gomorrah, will be poured out from heaven. The same words and usage in the Hebrew is word for destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. You have earthquakes happening to those 10 countries as they're trying to attack Israel. Then you have giant hailstones. You have them killing each other. And then you have plagues. They're going to be a little busy. They're going to be tied up a little bit. So when you look at the aftermath of the battle, God was in complete control, and he cursed those countries that attacked Israel. That's what the word says. Now, we're not told about the number of casualties of this battle, but we are told that the bodies will be eaten by the birds of the air and wild animals. You shall fall dead upon the mountains, you all your host of peoples, where I will give you to the ravenous birds of every sort to do, and the beasts of the fields to be devoured. Number two, for seven years, this battle is just going to take place in the latter times, right around the time of the rapture of the church. For 7 years after this battle, you see a coalition? There's something going on here. They're going to burn. Something's going to burn. They're going to see this. It's in Ezekiel 39:9. Now, along with the ravenous birds, I want to stop right there for a second. I got 5 minutes left, and I'm going to give you a little foreshadowing. In Armageddon, there's a place that the Bible talks about that the battle is going to be taking place at. Now, along with where it says ravenous birds here, and it just talks about different things of how they're, what they're going to be eating, these flesh-eating birds, they're going to take place. Also, in the story of Armageddon, when the battle takes place, in the northeastern part of Israel, where there's going to be a line of, there it says the bodies are going to be so stacked so high? It's going to be bad. You know, it says right now, up in Syria, there's this little piece of land that separates Israel in Syria. It's a no man's land. And right now you have the UN there and a couple other different countries, and they're protecting Syria from coming into Israel. So can I, It's on your map if you look, the brown in Syria. I want to show you this. Golan Heights. See the little blue? The blue is a lake, and that little purple sliver in between Syria and Israel is the Golan Heights. In the Golan Heights, up, and we'll, like I said, we're going to get into this when we talk about the Battle of Armageddon. There's going to be bodies stacked up right around that lake, and it's going to be cutting across the whole way. It's going to be mountains of people everywhere. And birds, flesh-eating birds, will be eating the remnants of those people. So, in the Golan Heights right now, it's desolate, it's barren, there's nothing there. When 1972. If you go on to Israel's, like Welcome to Israel site, things to see in Israel and on. And then they talk about the birds and the national birds and the trees and all the different things. Over in the Golan Heights, for whatever reason, there's nothing to eat there. It's desolate. There's nothing there. But there was one interesting thing that has happened. Up until early 1970s, there were no birds of prey, no ravenous birds, because there was nothing for them. There's no meat for them to eat. There's nothing. Currently, as of 2013, there's a couple hundred thousand ravenous birds in the Golan Heights. There's nothing to eat there still. If you go on their site, they can't explain. Israel can't explain why all these birds are collecting in the Golan Heights. So all these birdologists or whatever they call them, I have no idea. Whatever called. What's the name for bird people? What is it? Ornithologists. Okay. You all said that very confidently. Okay. Yeah. They're studying this, and they're saying, what is going on? Why are all these birds collecting? Because there's never been any birds here ever. And the vegetation and everything else hasn't changed. There's nothing for them to eat. They eat flesh. They eat things off flesh. Isn't that interesting? It's prophesied that there's going to be a battle, and bodies are going to be stacked up in that area. And they're, birds can read if you train birds. So when you go home, you should be reading the book of this prophecy to your birds. Okay, number three. Just to give you a little insight, and this is going to be going into when we go into specific prophecies in the Bible, why you should be excited, because these are all things that are, if someone knows about birds, that you say, hey, look at that robin out there. Hey, did you know the Bible prophesied about these birds? Anything can transition. You want to point people towards Christ, and that's why you want to learn. You can learn as many as you can, but there's a list of things that there's out there that we're going to break down. Number three, for 7 months, a special detachment from the army will be burying the dead. He's going to give Gog a place for burial in Israel that will pass through the east side of the front of the Dead Sea, the highway between Syria, Persia. You can read those passages. We're running out of time. It's all in your notes. But the timing of the battle, the important aspect of this battle, number four, it's the aspect we can't be dogmatic about, meaning is it going to take place right before the rapture of the church, right after the rapture of the church? Is it going to be at the exact same time? It will happen when Israel's at a time of peace. Does that mean they're going to sign a quick peace treaty? We don't know exactly. This is the part where it's like, okay, are they just going to be, is this like they're going to sign a peace treaty for 30 seconds and bam, it's just going to happen, this war's going to break out? Because we know it's going to be a surprise, so they're going to be at a time of peace. Right? That's what the Bible says that. So it's going to happen in the last days or the end times. Ezekiel already stated that six different places. So the prophecy is before the rapture of the church or right after the rapture of the church. We know there's a seven-year period right after that. We know it's going to have peace for 3.5 years, and then 3.5 years of the Antichrist is going to reveal himself. We also know that the details for the battle are in place now, meaning up until 2012, this couldn't have happened because these countries that are going to come up against Israel were not against Israel. Do you guys, there's so much going on with this prophecy. It's just, if you sit and think, I go, oh my goodness. So with the rise of Islam and the oil crisis, high unstable prices, everybody's wanting oil, control the oil. Why does everyone want to control the oil? Because we know in the end times, the Antichrist will control the oil. That's what they're going to do. This is how they're going to control buying and selling. We know that we're closer to the battle than ever before. It's not just living in the last days as a generality. This is the last days. So, Peter, well, I'm going to close with this. Peter in 2 Peter, you don't have to turn there. In 2 Peter, he said that people all around us, people in the church too, has said, where is the promise of his coming? Because since your forefathers have gone to sleep, meaning the ones who've gone before us and have already died, they've been saying that Jesus is coming, and he hasn't come yet. So what's the deal? It also says, same passage, the next verse, it says, those same people will say, we no longer believe that there was a flood. What a strange thing to say. Hold on. What is he saying? Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. They will be buying and selling. Everything's going to be good, right? But one interesting thing, as Paul told Timothy, but it'll be spiritually difficult times. You guys remember? They didn't say it's going to be horrific times out there. We're not going through a difficult time in the United States. We're not under attack or anything. Israel has always been under attack. That's what we're supposed to watch. And so I'm not... So you and I can get lulled to sleep because perilous times, spiritually, yeah. But people are buying and selling. People are going on as normal. But this says people, so Jesus said it's going to be in the times of Noah. What happened in the time of Noah? People did not believe judgment was coming. For 100 years, they watched Noah build an ark, and he said, when it's finished, I'm closing the door. If you want to come in and be saved, you can. So, how do I fast forward to what's happening now? Jesus commanded us in Matthew 24 to know the signs of his return. Back in the days of Noah, Genesis 6, what are the signs of the ark being finished? Oh, I don't know. The last board going on? The roof? The nails? Them taking the boards away? Clouds coming in? You see the signs of the end. You and I see this. So he said in the end times, Peter said in the end times, the church would say, you know what? Is he really coming back? And they'll question the flood. It's not just questioning the flood. They're questioning judgment. Would God really bring judgment? Going tying into a false religion, meaning everyone goes to heaven. God is love. God is full of grace. Everyone's going to heaven. God would not destroy anybody. Do you guys see how this ties in? How I is? Because Peter said in the last days, people would no longer believe that there's going to be a flood or a judgment brought upon the rest of the earth ever again. This is all confirming. You go through Scripture, Old and New Testament. It just keeps going. Did y'all get this tonight? Okay. Wow. All right. Let's stand. Stretch. Feels good. Remember, next week, there's a lot.